Well, good morning. It's always good to be here at Living Hope. I invite you to take out the message notes, if you would, from the bulletin. This morning's message is going to be a bit of a different format than what I tend to normally preach, and that is I tend to take a passage of Scripture and work my way through it. But this morning I'm going to do what would be considered a topical message. And so we're going to cover a lot of different passages of Scripture. Some you might just write down rather than look up in your Bibles. But I hope all of you have your Bibles with you this morning. I want to just again give greetings from Cornerstone Community Church in Marshfield. And we're grateful that God is working in our midst there as well. And it's always good to be able to come and open the Word with you this morning. You know, really, what's happened this morning already has really served as living illustrations of the message I want to share with you today. And so you'll kind of see that as we move ahead here. But during summer, of course, we always think about summer projects, doing various different kinds of work, remodeling things, building things, repairing things. But in any project that you undertake of those sorts, particularly as we think about what's right above us here this morning in terms of the roof repair, you know, there's that adage that is often spoken among builders, and that is you measure how many times? You measure twice and cut once. There you go. Measure twice and cut once. I wonder how many of us wish we'd have followed that adage a little more often. You know, I'm not a builder. These hands are better on the keyboard than, you know, with a saw. In fact, I could probably be dangerous. The only thing I ever built in my life, actually, well, let me take that back. I've built two things in my life, actually, out of wood. The first one was I built a waterbed frame. You can tell how old I am now. When waterbeds were really in, you know, they just had come out. I built a waterbed frame. I was actually a church custodian at the time. And we had gotten into the church some, you know, folding partition walls, you know. Though, I don't know, do you have any here? I see you've got those movable walls. But anyway, you know, those accordion-type walls? Well, they came in these very large wooden crates. And I disassembled those crates, and I made them into a waterbed frame. Don't ask me how I did that. Anyway, that was the first thing I built. The second thing I ever built was shortly after I got married, I built a doghouse. Now, my wife isn't here today, but when I married Marion, I also got two dogs, a full-grown Alaskan Malamute and a Border Collie. Well, I built it for the Malamute, not for myself, all right? But when it comes to building, we need to know how to measure things properly in order to get the task done right. Whenever we make things in the kitchen, we make a recipe, we need to know how to measure things properly in order to have the desired results. Today at Cornerstone, it's our summer picnic day. And it's also the third annual pie contest. You know, you come to Living Hope today, you learn a new game. You know, who said coming to church is boring? Anyway, you go to Cornerstone today and it's the third annual pie contest. Well, my wife can't refuse that. And so she made a key lime pie. Or might I say, we made a key lime pie because I was able to squeeze enough limes to get a half a cup of fresh lime juice for that pie. That's a lot of limes, by the way. And but I had to know the markings on a cup to know how much a half a cup of lime juice is in order to get the desired results. Well, maybe the next time I come, I'll tell you what place she finished in the pie contest. But anyway, we need to have measurements. We need to understand that, especially when it comes to something much more important, and that is our walk with Christ. I think of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12. He said, it's like firmly embedded nails. Firmly embedded nails. We need to know what to hang on to in terms of our walk with Christ. And that's what we're going to look at today. And so I hope you've got your message notes ready, because we are going to look at various passages again. And as I serve on the elder board at Cornerstone, one of the practices that we do is we read a book every year. We read a book last year called Deep and Wide that really challenged us in several areas. And the germination of this message really comes out of that, as we were challenged with several things in that book. And God really kind of began to develop this message in my heart last year. First time I've actually preached this message, by the way. So give me feedback after I'm done. Amen. Normally people aren't afraid to give me feedback, but go ahead. I'm inviting it after the message today. So sometimes we measure things in the wrong way. There are those three R's of school. The three R's of school are what? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. But when it comes to getting the most out of our Christian walk, sometimes we measure by the wrong things. And that could be religion, rules, and rituals. Religion, rules, and rituals. Now, the Bible talks about all three of those things. James says, a pure and undefiled religion. I hope you know how to finish that. Pure and undefiled religion is looking after the widows and orphans. We saw some of that reflected in the team report this morning. I mean, the Bible is filled with rules from front to back. And we even have some things that we could define as rituals. But the problem is that we can so easily tend to make those the ends. We can make those our focus rather than a means to an end. In other words, it's like, I've got to go to church today. I've got to go to church. I've got to go. And we make going to church the end rather than the means. We're measuring by the wrong things. Sometimes church leadership focuses on the three B's: bodies, bucks, and buildings. Bodies, bucks, and buildings. Now, a church is made up of people, right? We need bodies. We need people. And in order to function as a church in various ways, we need bucks. We need money. Not Milwaukee bucks. Don't misunderstand me. We need money. And, of course, quite often churches have facilities and have buildings. But we need to be careful we don't make them the ends rather than the means. So, having said that, we need to understand that the focus of the Christian life is about a dynamic relationship that is based off trust. A dynamic relationship based on trust. We need to keep the right thing in mind. Now, the Christian life is described in several ways in the Bible, but one of the ways it's described is it's described as the way, or the path, or the walk. Jeremiah 6:16 says, follow the ancient path. Now, if it was ancient for Jeremiah, what does that make it for us? It makes it an antique. And we should treasure antiques. I won't get into that. Anyway, we need to follow the ancient ways. Acts 9:2 says that Christians walked in the way. And John says in 1 John 1:7, we're to walk in the light. You know, we could multiply verses on that. But the Christian life is a dynamic relationship of trust. We tend to want to just draw some small boxes and try to fit our Christian life into that. One of the key verses is Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. I think I've got that verse on a slide. Do I? 2, 6, and 7? If not, you can turn there in your Bible. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. This is what Paul says in Colossians 2, 6, and 7. He says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord." Now, what is Paul driving at there? Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. What do we call that? We call that becoming a Christian, right? We call that being born again, right? We call that becoming a part of the family of God. So Paul says, look, just the way that happened, that becomes the model for what? Your continued walk in Him. Your continued walk in Christ. So what happened when you came to Christ becomes the model for how you continue in Christ. How do we measure this morning how each of us are continuing in Christ? How do we measure how we are continuing in the ancient way? We need to be sure we're not focusing on the wrong things. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Without faith is impossible. Following Christ is a dynamic relationship of faith. Whether you're sitting in Living Hope, whether you're driving home, whether you're in the office, it is without faith you cannot please God. Now, I want us to turn to this next passage. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I know that all of you will know this very thoroughly, because didn't you just go through Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 4. You know what I'm about to say. Hebrews 4. The writer says, look at verse 2. "For we," the writer is talking of Christians. He says, "For we as Christians also had the gospel preached to us." Now, gospel, sometimes I want you to imagine a circle. And sometimes when we hear the word gospel in the scriptures, the only thing we think of is the proclamation that Jesus died for your sins. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Yes, it is. But that is not the totality of the gospel. The gospel, biblically, also can refer to the entirety of the Christian life, how you live out and continue in Christ. And so we need to kind of broaden our understanding and perspective of the gospel. So, when the writer says in verse 2 that we have also had the gospel preached to us, he's speaking that to Christians. And basically what he's saying is, you've heard the word of God. Now, look how he goes on. He says, "We had it done just as Israel did when they came out of Egypt. But the message they heard was of what value? no value, no value. Zero. And the reason is stated in the text. Why was it of no value? Because those who heard did not combine it with faith. When it comes to understanding, making the most out of our walk with Christ, we see it as a dynamic relationship. That as we have received Christ and we came to the cross and we found life and forgiveness, that's by faith. We believed the message that Christ died for me. Christ paid the penalty for my sins, and if I repent, I receive forgiveness and life. That is received by faith. When I receive the Word of God, it must be received by faith again, or the text says it is of no value, no profit to the individual. So some of us here this morning got up, got ready, came to church, and we'll head home. But may it not be said of us, what occurred today was of no value. Because you failed to mix what you heard with faith and act upon it. So, having said that, we need to be careful lest we fall short. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It is crucial, absolutely crucial. So, let's move into the heart of the message here. Because what we want to look at now is five ingredients that I believe scripturally helps us to measure, to get a hold of, to understand better our walk with Christ. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one. Ingredient number one. We need clear, practical teaching from the Word of God. That's what hopefully has been happening this morning up to this point. If I'm going to make the most of my walk with Christ, then I need to make the most of this book. This book has to impact my life. This book has to become a part of my life. This book has to fill my thoughts. And how is it going to fill my thoughts? It's going to fill my thoughts because I've placed it before me, and I've spent time with it. Look at what the Scripture says. It was 2 Timothy 3. Paul wrote, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, that is, any Christian, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We need clear, practical teaching from the Word of God. There's no other way around it. We need to be Bible-carrying Christians, not just physically, but in our own hearts. We live in a nation where there is a drought, not just of water, but there's a drought of the Word of God. And we have so many avenues to receive the Word today, it's astounding. I mean, most of you could probably pull out your phones and you could listen to the Word of God on your phone. If you don't know how to do that and you've got a smartphone and you're interested in learning that, talk to me. You know, there are just so many avenues, and yet the understanding of the Scriptures is just diminishing generation after generation after generation. And so when I think about my walk with Christ, it begins with the Scripture. It begins with how I am clearly seeking to understand and apply the Word of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And James alludes to the fact that we must be able to feed ourselves. If we look at church as being our one big meal, that we come for Sunday and we gorge ourselves on the Word of God and we hope that Word carries us through the rest of the week, we are not going to make the most out of our walk with Christ. It's clear, practical, consistent, the Word of God, which is able to equip us for every good work. Well, that's ingredient number one. And we need to be able to consider how we stand in relationship to that. Ingredient number two, if we're going to measure properly, we need to have consistent private disciplines in our life. Consistent private disciplines in our life. Now, our Christian faith is personal, but it's not private. But what I mean by private here is there are things that we do that we develop somewhat on our own. And we need to have some time on our own. And we need to understand that these help us. Look at that verse, 1 Timothy 4:7 there. That's under that point. We need to train ourselves to be godly. We need to work at it. We can't ride on anybody else's coattail. This is our personal responsibility. And I think I've broken this down into a couple of different areas. Number one, we need to have a healthy devotional life. We need to have a healthy time with God. We can call it a quiet time, a personal prayer time. We need to have that happen. I wonder if you're like me. It's time for true confessions. How many of you struggle with having, and I'm raising my hand here to answer this question. How many of you struggle at times with having a personal, consistent, private devotional time? Raise your hand. Most of the hands went up. Now, why is that? Well, we can answer that question in a number of different ways. But here's the way I want to answer that question this morning, and that is this. I would submit to you that the struggle that occurs in having a consistent personal time with God, that struggle that occurs in your life and in my life, is an indication of the great value that lies in having that time. Because the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil doesn't want us to enjoy that time. It fights against us having that time. So I submit to you that struggle is a great indication that there is tremendous value in that time. But if I'm going to make the most out of my walk with Christ, how do I measure that? One of those measures is my devotional life. And again, there are so many different options to help you in having a devotional time. You could be flooded by them. Number two under this is a deepening sense of worship. A deepening sense of worship. You know, church is like icing on the cake. A corporate worship time like this is like dessert. It's like the end, as you've walked with God during the week and you've met with Him during the week and you come to celebrate, it's like the icing on the cake. And so Jesus said in John 4, the Father looks for those who would worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. That they would come out of a hungry heart. There's a great prayer request to add to your prayer list. Lord, give me a deepening sense of worship. Number three, another aspect would be a growing prayer life. Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2 says, be devoted to prayer. You know, Billy Graham even said, you know, I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to look back on my life and wish I had prayed more. I say amen to that. There's another great example of where the struggle to pray is a great indication of the tremendous value that awaits you as you face that struggle. Last aspect of how to be consistent in private disciplines is to develop a generous life as a giver, to be a generous giver. Again, we saw a great example of that this morning as we saw some share and the team got up here and talked about how they came and they gave and how people in the congregation gave to them. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:6 that as Christians, we ought to excel. We ought to excel in the grace of giving. Wow. That ought to be a way that we are looking. You know, sometimes we go to a garage sale during the summer. And my wife's been looking for a covered cake pan. You know what I mean, ladies? You know, a layer cake, two-layer cake or whatever, and you get a cover over it and you can take it with you, a covered cake pan. Well, we were on our way home about 3 weeks ago, and we saw the signs for an estate sale. Yeah, that was cool, an estate sale. So we stopped, and there was a lot there, but they should have just taken a bulldozer, I think, and bulldozed it over. You know what I mean? Anyway, but my wife come around the corner and had this covered cake pan. Ooh boy! And of course, you find a bargain like that. What do? You want to tell somebody about it. You know, you want to say, look what I got for $1.50. You got a bargain, you know. We want to talk about things we find. You know, we got it on sale. Well, it's more blessed to give than to receive. God wants to develop us as generous givers. He wants us to bless. Be blessers of others. We want to excel in that. And that's not by our own efforts. Don't misunderstand me. None of this is by our own efforts. We'll see that in a minute. But we want to excel. So if we're going to measure, how are we doing in our private disciplines? Ingredient number 3, involvement in personal ministry, serving the Lord. Our involvement in personal ministry, serving the Lord. Psalm 100 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Again, this morning, what a great testimony we had right in front of our very eyes. We were made to serve. There's no two ways about it. And if we're going to make the most of our walk with Christ, it's not from the sidelines. It's not being a casual observer. It's being one who sees themselves as gifted by the Spirit and sees themselves as being commanded to go as Jesus has commanded us. And the church is the training ground for such times like that. We begin to get our feet wet and we move beyond into the community. But where it fundamentally begins, in terms of our own personal ministry, is it is intended to begin in the home. It's intended to begin where we live. God wants us to see what happens in the home as being a part of our personal ministry. As husbands love their wives, and as wives respect their husbands, and as children honor their parents, are we different in church than we are at home? The Bible doesn't see that dichotomy. It begins there. The church is the training ground, and we need to be involved in personal ministry. So I wonder, as you think about making the most out of your walk with Christ, where have you plugged in? Where are you involved? Where are you serving? Where is God wanting to use the spiritual gift or gifts that He's placed in your life? That helps you measure how you're moving forward with Christ. Number four, develop providential relationships with others. Develop providential relationships with others. Again, that's what the church is all about. Biblically, there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We are a part of God's forever family, as our pastor loves to say. We need to see beyond our earthly physical family, as precious as that is, but God calls us to see beyond that to His forever family. Romans 12:10, the verse there in the message notes, be devoted to one another in love. If you've never done this before, and probably many of you have, it's a great and easy study to look in the New Testament and just find all the one another passages that help frame the idea of how God is designed to have providential relationships. And the word providence, of course, is a word we don't use much anymore, but it's how God oversees relationships. How God brings people into our lives to make a difference. Hebrews 3:12 and 13 says, but encourage one another as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need encouragement. Amen? We need people to come alongside of us and to encourage us to make the most of our walk with Christ. You know, there were three key relationships in the New Testament that focused a lot of the New Testament. You have the Apostle Paul, you have Barnabas and Timothy. You have Paul who discipled Timothy and Barnabas who came alongside of Paul and encouraged him. Of course, that's what his nickname meant, son of encouragement, Barnabas. And you know, you think about those three types of individuals. Paul, the leader. Timothy, the learner, and Barnabas, the encourager. I can kind of get my arms around that. And when we think about these providential relationships, we can think about those three types of relationships. In other words, I would say to you, who are you following like Paul? Who is impacting your life spiritually like Paul did Timothy? Or secondly, who in your life are you trying to bring along? Who are you trying to encourage in their walk with Christ like Paul did Timothy? Or who are you trying to really encourage where they are in their life like Barnabas did Paul when Paul had tough times? And you can flip it around and look at it the other way. You can look at it from both ways. Who is a Paul to you and who are you a Paul to? And so on down the line. God brings relationships into our life. And that's why church is so important. Because it provides context. Hebrews 10:25, a verse that many of you could quote to me, is let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Providential relationships. Who are you drawing close to encourage to lead or be led by. That's tough sometimes in our culture, especially for men. We tend to isolate ourselves or keep relationships on a superficial level. But making the most out of our walk with Christ means I need others to touch me. You know, when we think about coming to church, I commend you for being here. You know, it used to be regular attendance was defined as three or more weekends a month at church. But today we live in a culture where if people show up once every 4 to 6 weeks, they consider that regular. Did you hear that? If people show up once every 4 to 6 weeks, they think that's regular. We need to develop providential relationships with others. That's why it's so important that you plug in to classes, whatever they are at Living Hope. You take advantage of those opportunities, and God will bring people in your life that will challenge you, encourage you, and will help you along in your walk. Number five, recognition of pivotal circumstances with others. Recognition of pivotal circumstances with others. He who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. Philippians 1:6. We need to know that, you know, God uses moments in our life, pivotal moments. And again, as I stated earlier, you know, this day, this past week, could have been pivotal moments for some of the young people that were involved in this service project. There could be some life-changing moments here that they will look back on and say, you know, God did something in my life that week, and because of that, my life is headed in a new direction. Or we've heard this morning the call and the challenge of a need that is in the church right now, right today. Something needs to be done because the rain's going to come down and the flood's going to come up, and we got to be sure that the roof doesn't leak. Maybe someone here has felt the challenge to become a generous giver in a way they've never done before. Maybe this is your opportunity. This pivotal circumstance has afforded you the opportunity, being nudged by the Spirit of God, to make a difference. I was also very pleased to see that in the bulletin it says that on August 9th, there will be a baptismal service that will take place. That can be a pivotal circumstance in the life of believers. If you're a follower of Christ and you've never been baptized, that's part of what Christ has for you. I can look back and I can remember with fond memories the day I was baptized. I can remember back, I had the privilege of baptizing my two children in Lake Michigan. Pivotal moments. Going on retreats. There are many and varied, but asking God to open your eyes to such circumstances. God uses them, and they become measures in our life. I encourage you to take such circumstances and open up your Bible and record them, write them down, date them. We have such an easy time of forgetting things like that. Don't let that slip away. Well, getting the most out of our walk with Christ. Let's move on to the next slide here. Bring it, keep going. Teaching, number two, consistent in our disciplines, number three, involvement in ministry, number four, develop providential relationships, and five, recognition of pivotal circumstances. And that all cannot happen unless the Holy Spirit is taking those and making a difference in our lives. So that is absolutely critical that we see these as helping us get a handle on how we move forward as we have received Christ, that we would walk in Him. And so there are a couple of questions on the bottom of your message notes. As a result of thinking about these, and maybe not just right now, but as I have a time to think through these again, what are a couple of changes that I could make personally in my walk with Christ right now? And when I think about that image, that colorful little image up there, what kind of insights can I draw from that? For example, these are not five separate different things, but they are interrelated. They all touch. They all overlap. And it'd be good just to put right the Holy Spirit right over that as well. And lastly, who can I share an insight like this with? We need to pass it on. One of the greatest ways to incorporate truth into our life is to pass it on to someone else. I trust today has been an encouragement to you. The Apostle John said this, "Whoever claims to live in Christ must walk as Jesus did." This is how Jesus walked. May God help us to walk like that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Help us now, we pray, to take what you have for us this morning and utilize it to your honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.